Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This morning we focus our attention on our gospel reading from Luke chapter 13, where we hear of God's incredible patience for all of us. You may be seated. I've done a little bit of an informal survey over the years by asking people, maybe you've done this same sort of thing yourself, by asking people, young and old, men and women, from different churches and even denominations, what is your favorite season of the church year? And so if you talk to a Lutheran or a Roman Catholic or any other liturgical type of Christian, you'll probably get them giving you an answer to a season. What is their favorite season? If you talk to somebody who's not from a liturgical tradition, they'll be like, season? Church year? What does that mean? So then you got to ask the other question, well, what is your favorite holiday? And it's a little easier to get an answer to that question, right? And if you asked that question, the most likely answer that you're going to get is, what is your favorite Christian holiday would be? Christmas, absolutely, for the most part, right? You get a few that mention other holidays, but if you were to do a Family Feud-style game show and ask about favorite Christian holidays, Christmas is definitely going to be the number one answer, flipping that tile right up at the top, right? Absolutely, by far, probably. But I heard someone say the other day that the most important Christian holiday is Easter. And it got me thinking. I never really actually contemplated what is the most important Christian holiday, because I think a lot of us would gravitate towards Christmas and the celebratory aspect of it, especially as we celebrate it here in our country today. But Easter really is, as I thought about it, the most important Christian holiday. Without the resurrection, there is no Christianity at all. Of course, you could go back and say, without Jesus being born, there's not going to be any Christianity at all either, so it's really not worth the fight. And yet, I do think that I've been converted. Easter is the most important Christian holiday. You can have a different opinion if you want. But it does speak to the fact that this season of Lent, as we prepare for the celebration of Easter, I think sometimes takes a back seat to the season of Advent. Those holidays that we celebrate them because they give us an opportunity to celebrate something specific. It's a day to diverge from our everyday routines. But seasons are a little bit different than that. Seasons take patience, don't they? And even the type of patience that we have during each of the seasons can vary. The season of Advent leading up to the celebration of Christmas requires a patience of anticipation. Each day is getting closer and closer to the goal, and the anticipation builds as it gets closer. I think the season of Lent, though, requires a different kind of patience. It's a patient endurance that we have to have during the season of Lent. 40 days, maybe, of depriving yourself of something. 40 days of reflecting on your sinful condition. It could almost be likened to the patient endurance required during the season of winter for those people who don't necessarily enjoy the cold and the snow all the time. I don't mind being in the winter for a time, but there comes a point where it is patient endurance. You endure that time so that you can get to spring and new life. We endure winter because we know the new life of spring is going to come. But as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the Lenten journey, while sometimes long and winding, is part of what God uses to mold and to shape and to guide us along his path. And the Lenten focus that we spoke about last week is what keeps us moving along and this sometimes difficult road. Knowing that that destination that we're pushing towards, that we're pressing on toward, is so fantastic that we're willing to wait for what's to come. The road toward Easter on this Lenten journey is one that we patiently endure because we realize the all-surpassing joy of what we're going to celebrate on the day of resurrection. And like our patient endurance through the winter season while waiting for the new life of spring, our Lenten patience endures in anticipation of the new life of Christ at the resurrection and our new life in him. But patience is not easy, is it? My goodness, I'm not good at it. And I realized that this week while I was waiting for some important responses to emails that still haven't come. Patience is not my strong suit. Even while waiting in relatively short lines for some things at that conference that I was at this week, I found myself getting agitated about having to slow down and wait. I imagine that I'm not alone in this struggle. Many people, I think, deal with issues of impatience. And when it comes to our own growth, or the growth of other people around us as believers, I think we tend to have less patience. Because there are things that we could probably be more patient at, and some things not so much. But when we want to grow, when we want to accomplish something, I think we become very impatient. We want results right away. And those results don't always come right away. And all of us are suffering in some way on this road. Maybe not like those who Jesus describes in the gospel. Maybe not like those Galileans whose blood was mingled with the sacrifices, or the Judeans on whom the tower in Siloam fell. Maybe we're not struggling in those ways, but all of us have our own struggles. And we're all suffering somehow. And sometimes the patience that we would like to have as we endure these sufferings is really hard to come by, wondering where God is in the midst of all of this. And as we wonder that, it would be very easy for us to begin to think that God is just some angry figure out there in the distance somewhere, unaware or uncaring as we endure whatever it is that we're going through. And it's that kind of thinking that can lead us to believe that what we have is actually just simply a righteous judge who's keeping score on some cosmic scoreboard somewhere and just waiting up to strike us down for all the sin that we continue committing. Of course, we know that God doesn't judge us by our sins, but he judges us by the love of Jesus. But it's all too easy for us to think that this suffering in our lives and in our world is all somehow God punishing us for that sin. But this is where we can take a look at the end of our gospel reading from Luke today and see that Jesus is giving us an entirely different narrative about who God is. In this short parable that Luke relates to us, God the Father is the owner of this garden that Jesus talks about. And in that garden is a fig tree, and each and every one of us is that fig tree. And that vine dresser, that gardener that Jesus speaks about, is Himself. And like that tree, we are nurtured and we are sheltered in God's garden. Yes, there are going to be storms in our lives. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be setbacks. There's going to be difficulties. But like those storms, it's the same thing in a garden. Weather is always going to have some effect, even in the garden. And unlike wild trees, trees in the garden are nurtured and they're given nutrients, and it makes it easier for them to grow. They're protected from the people outside who might try to come in and cut them down. And the gardener and the owner pay attention to the needs of the tree that's inside the garden. Now, this particular tree that Jesus speaks of, it's a fig tree, as described in the gospel. And it's 3 years old by the time that we hear about it. And the owner of the garden is rightly frustrated that after years of work and gentle care, that tree still shows no signs of the fruit which should be evident given the care that it's received. Not even one simple fig. I don't know much about gardening, as I've told you before, or about fig trees, as evidenced by that story that you probably heard me tell about that one fig tree that I once owned, which I killed, and which never bore a single fig, even though its previous owner had gotten it to flourish. But all of my research tells me that fig trees should begin bearing fruit in their second year. So the owner of this land, the owner of this tree, has already given this tree an extra year in order to bear fruit. When he goes into the garden and he says to the gardener, it's time to cut it down. Even then, though, as the gardener, as that vine dresser pleads for this tree, the owner gives it even more patience. The gardener, that vine dresser, just like Jesus does for us, intervenes with the owner and gives that slow-growing fig tree another year. And not only that, he promises to give that tree even more attentive care and try it to get it to bear fruit. And fig trees need a lot of care, as do you, and as do I. What this parable shows us is that we don't have an angry God looking down at us from on high, disappointed that we aren't better people. He's not prone to punishing us for failing to live up to perfection. We have a patient God who spends each day with us, eager to see us grow and bear fruit. And we have a God who is willing to do the work to help us get there. Because He wants our lives to reflect that loving, caring relationship that we have with Him. He wants our lives to show the fruit of knowing Him. He is looking for that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control that reflect a life of repentance and growth in the Spirit. But He recognizes, as we should as well, that this fruit doesn't come from us being perfect in order to avoid God's wrath. This fruit comes directly from a God who comes to us again and again, desiring to see that there would be some fruit. And when there's not, is willing to give us special attention and plenty of fertilizer to help us grow. In other words, this transformation from unfaithful to faithful is a gift that we receive as we know and as we walk with the Master of the Garden, as we're cared for by the Savior of our souls. But that's not all that this parable is about. It's not just about the patience that God has with his people who have yet to bear the fruit that he desires them to bear. Regardless of whether it's us or God, patience is only going to last for a time. There have been times, I'm sad to say, that my impatience has caused me to erupt in ways that I don't like, that are not good to see, that are sinful, in fact. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. Patience can only last for a while. Jesus gave his call to repentance here in today's gospel reading. And he called us to repent three times. He called us to repent when he spoke of those Galileans whose blood was mingled with the sacrifices. He says, don't be like them. Repent. He called us to repent when he told us about the Judeans on whom that wall in Siloam fell. So don't be like them. Repent. And he calls us to repent as he tells us this parable of the fig tree as well. And he does it three times because it's important. God will bear with us not producing fruit for a certain amount of time. He's patient, and he's loving, and he's cultivating. But there will be a time when he decides that it's time for Christ to return. And I'm sure that it grieves him to know that whenever that day comes, there will be trees that have still not produced fruit. And there will still be many of his children who have not yet repented and turned to him. And as patient as God is, there will be judgment for those who do not produce fruit. And that's what Jesus is telling us will happen one day. There will be a time when he will return, when his patience has ended, and when all those who are not producing fruit will be cut down and will be thrown into the fire. The thing is that we, like that fig tree, are never going to produce on our own. We need the gardener. We need that vine dresser. We need Christ. And we need the Holy Spirit, strengthening and nourishing us so that the fruit of repentance becomes evident in our lives. And thanks be to God that we have that gardener, that we have the Holy Spirit. Because it's only by the saving work of Christ on the cross and the sustaining work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that the owner of the garden can look down upon his creation and see us as trees that are producing the desired fruit. May he continue to be patient with us as we rely on the gardener who tends and cares for us. And when his patience has finally ended, may his grace and his mercy be ours as he gathers his harvest home. As we journey through this blessed season of Lent with our focus on the author of our salvation, may we patiently endure whatever difficulties, whatever suffering we might face, knowing that that patience will be rewarded in the most joyous of celebrations, that of the resurrection. The resurrection of Christ, to be sure, but also the promise of our own resurrection. And may our patient endurance also be patient anticipation for the new life that we have and enjoy in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.